Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers.
R-E-S-E-C-T, find out what it means to me.
Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
Some of you may not like this, but man, I think you gotta salute greatness when you see it. And greatness is certainly Steph Curry. He gets it all after winning the finals MVP, winning his fourth title, finished game six with 34 points, seven rebounds, seven assists too. And in that series, averaged over 31 points, six rebounds, five assists against the number one defense in the league. Still don't know how Boston didn't at least try to throw something else different at him, because Steph was so comfortable. So comfortable, by the way, he shot 44% from three-point range. He was an absolute stud and needed to be. Certainly, that was a team that relied on him. That, you know, if that had been half Steph, you're not winning a title. I know John's big on the Warriors caught some breaks, and they did. Didn't have to play the number one seed. But Steph Curry earned everything. He earned all the accolades. And quite frankly, here's where I'm at on this. Your top 10 list is not right if Steph Curry is not in it. No, he's not on a Mount Rushmore. You're going too far with that, because that's the top four players. Unless we're changing Mount Rushmores, John, that's top four players, and I don't have Steph Curry in my top four. But I don't see how you're making up a list of 10 and not having the best shooter of all time on it. A quick list, I saw this at Yahoo, of NBA players that have won four rings, two regular season MVPs, and one finals MVP. It's Kareem. It's Steph, it's Tim Duncan, it's LeBron, it's Magic, it's Michael Jordan, okay? Yep. That's six guys right there that he's among elite company with. Again, I just don't know how you find four more and put them in front of Steph Curry with what he's proven now. And again, a big part of this, maybe it means more to me than others, is that you did it against, again, the number one defense in the league. And not just that, the defensive player of the year. Right. The man who they – remember how they pointed out, anytime Marcus Smart has gone against Steph Curry, he's been so successful. And Steph ate him up. And maybe it was the way, John, too, that by the third quarter he's telling you, ring me. But do you remember the last – that three hit where it's the sleep three. You know, he'd done it in every series where he puts the team to sleep. Marcus Smart was so frustrated in this series – that he tried, by the end of it, you know, he tried everything, John. All his old tricks, like leaning on guys and all that. And here's where you got to give Steph the credit, because I pointed this out to you before. Unlike LeBron or Jordan or these guys, blessed with great physical gifts to go with the work ethic, to become the stronger player, the guy who could take antics like Marcus Smart trying to lead on him, he had to put the work in, right? It couldn't just be the shot. To operate at the highest level, to beat a team that's number one defensively and defensive player of the year, you got to be stronger. And think about how much Steph had to put into that to get to a level to be able to take on, again, some of these guys with these great physical gifts. You saw it at the end. Marcus Smart had pulled out all the tricks. He's trying to lean on Steph there at the end. Steph hits him back with the shoulder. Nuh-uh, you ain't doing this to me. Marcus leaning over. What does Steph do? Roll out, hits the three. I'm not going to play that game with you, and I've gotten to a point in my career where I don't have to.
Right.
I'm stronger than I was when I first came in the league. Those kinds of tricks don't work on me anymore. So when you take the whole package, you can't do anything but respect it. And then at the end, yes, the Klay Thompson stuff, it rubs you the wrong way. But with Steph and sort of how he says he's the petty king, he does it in a lighthearted nature. You almost can't even hate on him for it.
For sure.
There's plenty of folks in Memphis that don't like Steph. You can find Steph haters, but I think even in that hate, you still have to respect the way he goes about it. And then, again, everything that's gone into the pot. Sure, the pedigree is there, the shot's there, but, dude, he had to put in a whole lot more. The dude's running 3.5 miles a game because the way he has to play offensively. He's put a whole lot more in it than just having a good basketball shot. So, and again, now I would tell you enough so that he should be in anybody's top 10 players of all time. I think Steph Curry
He's there.
Right? Solidly, and I don't think to be removed.
Yeah, I thought Marcus Smart specifically, you mentioned him, like, I thought the way that he, because Boston had come back from down, whatever they were down in that game five, right? They were down 10, 12 at the half.
Yes.
They had come all the way back, right? And they had taken the lead, and Marcus Smart melted down there at the end of the third, beginning of the fourth, like Jordan Poole sort of outdoing, you know, he's doing Marcus Smart, brother, Marcus Smart does.
Yes, they had him frustrated.
And he got a technical foul, right? And I just thought, you know, look, talking about that point guard play, that's something that they got to address because it ain't Marcus Smart at a championship level.
Players use stuff as motivation all the time. Steph had been using, we mentioned Dominique Foxworth. He was quick to point to it. Kendrick Perkins said he would, you know, not win any more titles when Golden State was down and out. Hell, they had worst record in the league a couple of years ago. Steph uses his motivation and said as much afterwards. John, it seems like the greatest ones are the greatest at turning the smallest things into some form of motivation. That's part about it. What we know is whatever it is, it's the DNA of the great ones, and Steph Curry should be among them. Now, another one, and one you've certainly heard before. This won't be news, but I think it's worth taking another look at. They don't win that title if not for Andrew Wiggins and the players
Respect.
Became.
Respect.
Here's what I'm going to say. Andrew Wiggins became Andre Iguodala 2.0 for them this year. And if you go back, and I did, and look at the numbers – now, for Iggy, it was more than numbers in 2015. John, we had talked about that right before we got out of here for the break in terms of what Iggy did that season that Steph Curry did not win his first Finals MVP. 16.3 points, 5.8 rebounds, 4 assists, but he was huge defensively, too,
yep,
in that series to win MVP. I'm going to repeat those numbers. 16.3, 5.8 rebounds, 4 assists. Here's Andrew Wiggins this year. 18.3 points, 8.8 rebounds, 2.2 assists, and oh, by the way, did you see the way he played defense on Jason Tatum? Like, Andrew Wiggins was a stud, and you have got to give that kid...
Agreed.
Listen, we laughed at Andrew Wiggins, right? Even as much as this season, being an all-star starter. Remember the vaccination stuff. By the end of it,
yep,
and you got to credit Golden State's winning ways. A lot of times you put a losing player, you know, around winning, sometimes it's going to change him. Sometimes it doesn't. But a lot of times it's going to change him. Why, John? Because they have to.
Right.
The accountability, all of it. And for everything that Golden State asked of Andrew Wiggins, at quite a bit, to play the, you know, playing the four in this run to a title, he did that and not just did it, but did it at an elite level.
Agreed.
I thought his transformation just this season, you got to respect it. And Andrew Wiggins isn't one of those guys like Klay Thompson at the end of a series going back and saying, see, Grizzlies told you so. Like, he's done it with class. He's done it for the, you know, carrying himself the right way. So, again, I know this is a lot of burgers for a lot of Golden State players. But
it is a lot.
Those two in particular, I think, too, it's easy to give it to them because of the way they carried themselves. But Andrew Wiggins gets that respect burger along with Steph Curry. Moving on. He's like we said, a five-time SNL host. He's a five-time Respect Burger winner. But Penny Hardaway, particularly the last two moves, getting Emmanuel Aycott, hiring Frank Haith, these are going to be big moves that help you this season. There was a point before we left where Calkins is asking us, how concerned are we about losing Lester Quinones? Should we be alarmed? And I remember the hit with him saying, no, Jeff, the term ain't alarmed. You're disappointed.
Right.
But Penny has shown time and time again he's an adjuster in these situations, and he can jump in late. And whether it's with Emmanuel Aycott or maybe a Keyonte Kennedy, the UTEP transfer that is now decommitted from Vandy, and everybody's saying the streets as well that he's the next one, Penny Hardaway has adjusted. That would include adding Frank Haith, the former Missouri, former most recently Tulsa head coach. Penny Hardaway's now got him as, you know, we'll see, whether it's the number one assistant, two, whatever it is.
Right.
He's now on your staff as a former head coach, and you would think is going to be very valuable for Penny Hardaway. We've talked about it earlier this show, especially what he brings defensively. All his tricks there with his zones, everything else. You add that to already good defensive coach in Penny Hardaway, that could look really good next year. But particularly on Penny's last two moves, the Respect Burger for him, he is certainly no stranger to this Respect Burger segment. Very quickly, do you remember why I said that whoever Tennessee baseball is playing, I'm rooting for before we got out here? Do you remember what that conversation came from?
Because the coach would not say the word Memphis.
He called us what?
West Tennessee.
What happened to them?
Hell.
They gone.
To the Lord. At the hands of the Lord.
Notre Dame. So the respect burger goes to Notre Dame baseball. Don't you remember? Everybody else, John, the take was, man, the Tennessee coach just gave Memphis and the hire so much love.
Yeah.
And then John reads us the quote. He won't even call us Memphis.
Won't
the damn fool called us West Tennessee.
Like Dyersburg, bruh.
They lost.
Yes.
Weren't they the one seed, John, going into this thing, Brad? One. And you got it feels like every other SEC team still in it except them. I had jumped on the right horse. I called this before we got out of here.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now, brother, it was bad karma. It was bad karma, and it started. They did a lot of it, though.
No,
they did. Remember, they did fingers. There was a lot going on with that Tennessee baseball team. But I had told you from always a Memphis part to the story. I had already told you going into the College World Series, watch out, and I'm rooting against you.
He talked about Memphis like it was Humboldt, bro.
Yes.
Like Crockett County in this thing.
Man said he's going to be good for West Tennessee.
Yeah.
West Tennessee baseball. Fool, it's the University of Memphis.
Man,
and they ain't in the College World Series, and you ain't either.
It might as well have been the University of Milan, bruh. To that dude. You know what I mean?
Yes, man. It was disrespectful, as I heard a ton over the weekend from my New York family that came in over the house.
Oh, they were disrespected.
No. New York folks, what you find, and you would know this because you have one apparently living in your home, they are very big on disrespect.
Yeah. Bro.
But what they're big is calling it out. You know, if they feel they're disrespectful, they're going to tell you.
So did you run?
That was disrespectful.
So did you run this by
them?
You
know the other New York guy who said that?
Who?
Jawa. Because he was kind of in the middle of it with them Golden State fans. Did you see that?
Yes,
but
yes,
the Klay Thompson thing, and Jawa went out and said that was disrespectful of Klay to say that about Jaren Jackson.
Yes.
To call him a bum. Did you see that Golden State fan base and them trying to eviscerate our man Jawa?
Yes, I did.
Y'all back off. They call that man Grandpa.
Well,
they call Jawa Grandpa.
That's mild for that group. That's pretty mild.
Bro, they are. That is a crew you do not want to cross because they don't stop. They're bloodthirsty.
I've crossed them several times.
They don't stop. Are they still in your mentions?
Man, it's like a good.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah,
it takes
like
time.
Because
they'll still trickle.
The raid out. I got to spray the raid.
They just about it. They are trained to go when it comes to just finding some random media member or somebody with some crazy take and jumping on.
They're all kids, man. That's the thing. They're all teenagers with cartoon pictures.
Last respect, Burger. You know, from time to time, I like to get around the city and point out and highlight some of the city's treasures. Maybe they're not so known. This one probably a little more so than others I've mentioned, but I got a chance to go to Mahogany, Memphis yesterday for Father's Day, for Juneteenth. And, oh, by the way, respect, Burger, to all the fathers out
here.
That includes all of us, John, father, Brad, father, me, father, you all listeners, you fathers.
Everybody's a father.
But I got a great chance to go to Mahogany, Memphis, which is over there. It's in the middle of Memphis off Poplar, not so far downtown. It's more still East Memphis, not far from the University of Memphis, over by La Baguette. Y'all ever been over in that area?
Oh,
by
I know
the,
exactly
by
what
the
you're
library.
Talking about. Over by the Prescott area.
Yes, and it's beautiful lighting.
No,
the ambiance
very nice
is great.
Little
and
mall
the,
there.
The,
yeah.
the food we got exactly. for brunch was fantastic, and I just wanted to make sure I mentioned they took such good care of me and my family yesterday during, like I said, Father's Day. Juneteenth celebration was yesterday. Moving on in today that we had a good time. I want to give them a respect burger. My food's good, hopefully, to them. Their food was fantastic.
Respect.
Yeah, and look, it's been a theme. I am going to continue to hand that disrespect dog out to the Warriors, who, as we speak, are having a parade. They're doing their parade now. And instead, again, of celebrating their fans and celebrating the year, they are focused on what other people are going to say about them, with Draymond saying, F everybody else, and Steph saying, what are they going to say now? It's like, you know, guys, I don't know how to explain this any better. You won. You won the title.
You think they're not going to talk?
They can the time for talk is over. It's time to celebrate. Who else can you remember that was this bitter at the parade? At the parade, bro.
A lot of people kicked them when they were down.
Who?
So if for them keeping, I don't fault them keeping receipts because you know what the Grizzlies would have done? The exact same thing. If you had talked about them when they're down, I guarantee you Ja's saving some receipts. But, he's a guy who does it. So how are you going to be so mad at it when Golden State does it? Ja keeps receipts too.
But how many people really counted them out when they were fully healthy? How many people actually, is this a created thing? Because it wasn't on this show.
Yeah. What are the Grizz guru. What are we talking about here? Chris Harrington tell you it's not the same Golden State team. Now, some of that is the breaks they catch. But I don't think anybody came into this thing necessarily saying, a lot of people were picking Phoenix or they're picking somebody else. It wasn't until we got on into it that Golden State all of a sudden becomes, oh, yeah, they're a lock. Can't believe they're still talking. You know what I'm saying? Like, this changed. We thought this go. Give Drew Hill the credit.
Well, once they got to the finals, I'll give him pretty, the credit. It was pretty obvious. Drew Hill
picked
to lose.
Drew Hill picked them from the beginning of the season.
Yes, he did.
And then, yes, through it all, they end up getting there. So I'll give him the credit.
Why not any love for Drew? You know, they should try to. Hey, Drew Hill, you believe in us.
That literally, I'm giving him a respect.
Focus on the people who believe in you rather than the people that don't. Right?
Stop.
Who do you choose to give your energy to?
Because again, this is gonna look. Ja does the exact same thing, John. He does the exact same thing.
You think he's going to be winning a title and saying...
I just can't see. You can't look at it in one breath and say, okay, it's not good for you guys who are four-time champs now. But then when we do it, a team that... listen, this was the part of Clay's point that he was right on. Hadn't done anything compared to them. Mm. It's okay for us. Uh-uh. No, you can't have it both ways, bro.
Well, they can...
You got to be able to prepare to take it if you're gonna give it.
Respectfully, they can all go to hell. I'm sick of them.
Just give it to Clay for calling Jaren a bum.
It's all in the same pot, bro. It's all in the same thing. All right, we'll come back. We'll get Jason Fitz's thoughts on that and more on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Turn FM, ESPN. Jason Fitz, the host of Spain Fitz, does it all for ESPN, joins us every single Monday, and he joins us now. Fitz, what up, man?
Just living the dream, boys. How we doing?
Everything is good.
Blessed back to have you on, brother.
Back in the saddle, man. We took some time to recharge, which, as you know, is quite necessary. And so it's good to be back. So we have a lot to touch on with you as a result of, like, not having been on. The Warriors have won another championship. Steph has number four. I guess my biggest takeaway from all of it was just sort of how they chose to talk about in their post-game press conferences how no one believed in them and how, you know, all the algorithms and all the percentages counted them out. I didn't think people were counting them out, but maybe in your circles you heard they were. What did you make of the Warriors winning the title and just everything that came afterward?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty shocking to hear how personally they were taking everything. Like, when's the last time you saw a team in victory that seemed that angry, right? And I don't mean angry like in a bad way. I just mean like fired up through all of that. And it's funny because athletes always tell us that they don't listen to the noise. But what have we learned in the NBA in the last 2 months particularly? They listen to all of the noise. I mean, I don't know if that's, you know, a byproduct of the fact that so many NBA players understand their platform and as a result have podcasts that are very successful. I don't honestly know the answer to it. I just know that what we've seen is pretty solid indications that, you know, at the end of the day, they hear us and it fires them up. And for the Warriors, I looked at that team and thought, man, if they're that fired up after a championship, that only speaks to the drive that they seem. So many champions that have won the way they've won over the last several years are tired. They don't seem tired. They seem ticked off at the world, and that's dangerous if you're the rest of the NBA.
For you, did it change at least your opinion of the player you thought Steph was coming into the finals? His finals performance, getting the MVP, did it change anything for you?
No, and I'll say that because I was already a big believer in sort of who he is, and I think we've really missed the boat on legacy when we have that conversation. And by that, I mean, you know, I remember talking last season in college basketball to Caitlin Clark who's a star women's basketball player at Iowa, when we were talking to her. And it was interesting because she can shoot from anywhere. And I asked her in the interview, you know, where are you comfortable from on the court? And her response to me that I'll never forget is, are you kidding? Steph taught me if I'm open, I can shoot. And that from anywhere. And I always think about that. When you talk about legacy, we talk so much about rings and championships. I'm talking about the way the game has changed. Like, think about if you're playing pickup ball 10 years ago, that guy takes that shot and he doesn't see the ball again, right? Like your buddies, you look over, you're like, no. If he's going to pull up from there, he's not going to get the ball again. Now that's considered a good play, you know? And so I just think about the way the game of basketball has changed in the last 5-10 years, because so many people have been influenced by Steph that they're now changing the way they approach it at every level. Like, if that's not legacy, what is? So I think we got it wrong with championships, and he hasn't done anything he didn't already do, which would be incredible.
Pick your favorite book for next season. Golden State is going to be the favorite. Should they be? I mean, I don't think so. And the reason why I don't think so is because I think they caught a lot of breaks. And you have to, right? Every team that's ever won a championship has caught a break along the way. I think they caught a lot. I think they caught a lot in the fact that the Mavericks beat the Phoenix Suns. I think they caught a lot in the fact that Ja Morant got hurt in the middle of that series, and I think it would have probably been a very different series had that not happened. And they're aging. And I haven't seen – I mean, we don't know what James Wiseman is going to be. We don't know what Kuminga is going to be. We don't know what that young group is going to be. Jordan Poole can't guard. Do you really think they're going to be right back here a year from now, given everything else that's happening around the West?
Not at all. And that's the other – like, because what have we learned in the last 2 years? Now, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know why this is happening. But we've seen injuries at a rate that we've never seen in the past. My theory is that when you take seasons and you make them so compacted and you do the bubble and then you go into another long season and then you go into what we've got right now, my theory is that, you know, that has caused more wear and tear on bodies, and as a result, everybody's going down injured. But think about it. If you're Memphis, you lost Ja, and you lost that series. Well, that's because you're one jaw away from losing a series. If you're the Warriors, you're one step away from losing the series. Let's not get it twisted, right? So, you know, I think in the West, it's particularly supposed to be so good. If you're Phoenix right now, Phoenix is going to regret this season forever, because this was their lightning in a bottle chance to steal a championship. They didn't get it done. I think the West is going to be one of the most competitive conferences we've ever seen in the NBA next year. So I take nothing for granted, and if I had to go the Warriors or the field, I go the field all day.
I want to go back, though, to Steph and sort of himself calling himself the petty king and finding these new motivations, right? We all had our eyes of, wow, you're motivated by that. Didn't realize how personal you took it, though. But how key, Jason, to living our best life, living your best life, is creating those new motivations, whether it's an opponent or someone that said something about you, or finding a new career path, a new challenge. How important is that to us reaching, you know, our highest ceiling, if you want to put it in sports terms?
I think in the NBA particularly, it's incredibly important, because the season is such a long grind, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so what's happening now is, you know, we're creating this whole Golden State versus Memphis because of Twitter duel, but that's actually good for everybody involved. Like, it gives everybody something to fight for, to reach for, and to be motivated for. Like, the NBA regular season is such a grind that if you're a player, you just got to survive that, right? Like, even if you look at the NFL, like, Tom Brady is not hesitant to come back because he's looking at, let's say, you know, the 17 games in the regular season. He's hesitant to come back because of all of the work that it takes outside of those 17 games. Like, being an athlete at that level is such an intense grind. Mm-hmm. I think they need that motivation just to keep them on their toes when they've had the success they've had, because otherwise it's easy to get complacent, for sure.
Exactly.
And that doesn't serve any of them.
You know, you mentioned it. Draymond and Ja Morant are going back and forth on Twitter last night, and they're talking about, you know, hey, let's do this on Christmas. Is the NBA sharp enough to see that and recognize, all right, we have two high-profile players openly asking to be put on Christmas Day. They're both really good. One's the champ. They face in the playoffs. Is the NBA sharp enough to make that matchup happen?
Boy, if the NBA isn't, then that's a level of stupid that they deserve whenever they get coming, right? Like, I mean, think about what next year is, too, because, like, NBA Finals ratings were what they were. They weren't spectacular. They were okay. And I at my core, disagree with some of what Mad Dog had to say about it on ESPN. I think he showed an old man logic again that doesn't really account for where the NBA audience is. But that being said, if you're the NBA and you know Christmas Day has been yours, don't get it twisted. Christmas Day this year, there are three NFL games going on. Like, you are going to be battling the NFL all day, so you better put something on that makes people at least turn on two TVs. So give me all the star power I could possibly get, and a finals rematch isn't going to be that. Like, the Warriors-Celtics won't move the needle, because in a star-laden league, what we really want is the series that was, frankly, the closest in that process throughout the process of the NBA with the two best stars that you can give. So give me Steph versus Ja on Christmas Day, and I'll pay attention to it. Give me Steph versus Tatum on Christmas Day, I'm yawning.
Fitzy, last time we saw Andrew Wiggins, how he changed the perception of himself. He was literally the butts of jokes coming into the season. Hell, we're questioning him on vaccination status. Then when he gets the All-Star starter nod, we're saying, oh, well, this is why that happened. And you look at him at the end of the season, and as good as Steph was, I don't think they win this title without him. Can you remember the last time we've seen an athlete or someone, you know, in this position switch from, hey, at one time you're thinking he's not going to be a piece, maybe he's a loser, and Wiggins certainly had that, you know, characterization at one point in his career, to going to such an integral piece of a championship team?
Yeah, and you're right. Not only did the whole perception change, but then I got to look at it and say, man, this is such a reminder about coaching and system, because we always look at athletes that fail and we're like, oh, that guy sucks. What if it, you know, is a combination of these elements? But what if we should be looking instead at the fact that, like, wow, now he's in an organization that actually looked at how can we best utilize him, and they helped build him up, and they helped give him the confidence he needs, and they also figured out sets that got him the ball in the way he needed to. They taught him to attack more. They changed the way he approached the game, and now all of a sudden he's, you know, he is who he is. He's a very good player. You're absolutely right. I don't think they win the championship without him playing as well as he did. So I look at all of that and say, my God, tip of the cap to the Warriors and Steve Kerr.
For sure.
And that's what everybody should be doing, is looking around at the roster and saying, are the pieces being used to the best they possibly can be? And, you know, that's what Golden State this year did better than anybody. Like, we're going to put this championship rightfully on the shoulders of Steph, but I think Kerr and the Warriors organizationally really showed that they were capable of doing exactly what the Lakers thought they were going to be able to do and have not been able to do. Like, I give the organization a lot of credit for that.
We're talking to Jason Fitz, joining us every single Monday here on the show. Around the NBA, reports from Shams are that the Brooklyn Nets and Kyrie Irving are at an impasse and that the Lakers could possibly be involved. I'm looking at this more so from KD's perspective. How is he feeling? I mean, is this sort of do you think if you're KD, you see this coming, you sense this is coming given the way that last year played out? Like, or are you like Will Smith in that episode of Fresh Prince where you're looking around and it's like, it's just me now. I thought this was going to be us, and now it's just me.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of the latter of the two. And the sense is with KD, who we all know is super sensitive and, like, owns it at this point. That's cool. You know, but I think if you're KD, you're looking around saying, man, I just wanted to catch a break. Like, I don't fault – and look, I was never one that faulted KD for going to the Warriors. But if you think about what KD was doing when he went to the Nets, it was all about, I want to play basketball with my friends at a place that I want to play in where we can have a blast, and it's going to be the most fun we've ever had together, and we're going to kick butt. And then it never happened. And now you're KD, you're looking around, and your former teammates are winning a championship, and, you know, you're saying good for them, but at the same time, you're like, man, I want to catch my break. I want to have my chance to do it my way. I actually feel for KD in this process. Like, it stinks. But whoever picks up Kyrie, like, I just don't care, because at the end of the day, you know that Kyrie is going to be more of a conversation off the court than on the court, no matter how good he is. And so, like, there's a part of me that I'm not going to feel sorry for whoever picks him up when it eventually implodes, because it will eventually implode. And I don't know why organizations keep allowing that to happen.
Over the NFL, Fitzy, the Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes stuff, and particularly Tyreek's part of it, do you dismiss it as, hey, this stuff's good for football too? Or is Tyreek making a mistake here when you call out Mahomes and the accuracy? I know he's trying to build up Tua, but did he do it the right way here? What do you think? Or is he putting an X on his guy's back here, his new quarterback's back?
Well, I think he is. He's putting eyeballs on his guys that they don't need right now.
Yep.
If Tyreek has a great relationship with Mahomes behind the scenes, then everybody's going to laugh about it and be like, I get it. You're doing what you got to do, which is sort of how Mahomes has handled it in interviews. But if not, then, yeah, if anybody in that locker room doesn't like Tyreek, now you put a mark on their backs, all of them, when the Chiefs, you know, eventually face Miami. But above and beyond that, if you're Tyreek, you also got to understand, like, heaping all of these expectations on today may not be beneficial for Tua. Like, just let Tua be invisible and let him prove it on the field, and everybody will be super happy. But now you're making it bigger and bigger and bigger and more of a conversation. Every time Tua plays now, there's a Tua Mahomes comparison because of what Tyreek said. I don't think that's healthy for Tua at all. Like, just let the kid try and be his own quarterback.
What's your belief level just in Tua in terms of, hey, we know this is going to be a year where he's going to have to prove it. He's got some weapons. What do you think happens with him this year?
Yeah, I think Tua becomes the most maddening thing any franchise can have. He becomes a pretty good quarterback, and that's unfortunate because when you have a pretty good quarterback, you're going to keep looking in the draft. And, you know, as low as I was on this year's draft class, you guys know that, especially quarterback. Next year's draft class of quarterback is enticing for everybody. I mean, there could be six or seven kids go in the first round next year at quarterback. So, you know, if Tua doesn't come out and play incredibly well with the weapons he has, there's going to be yelling and screaming that the Dolphins should be looking for a better option. And that's like, I don't think Tua is going to be great enough to end the questions. And that's unfortunate for him and the organization.
Elsewhere around the AFC, Derrick Henry says he is more fueled than ever, and that he's been fueled in the offseason by that loss to the Cincinnati Bengals. What do you make of just where he is in his career? The Titans have leaned on him really like no other player in the NFL has been leaned on that doesn't play quarterback. Can he be, you know, depended on to, you know, contribute the way he has? Is there going to be a drop-off? What do you think the future holds for Derrick Henry and the Titans?
I think it's going to be a drop-off this year, not because he's not capable, but because that's why, you know, frankly, that's why I hated the A.J. Brown trade. Like, who is it that scares you to death now when you're a defensive coordinator and you're watching the film and you're saying, oh, my God, how will we ever account for? And because that answer is nobody, then they're just going to stack more people. Derrick Henry's going to have to run through more to get less. It just feels like the sort of wear and tear you didn't need to do. I would have, if I ran the Titans, I would have done whatever it took to continue to give my offense as much explosiveness as possible, because the more explosive you are on the outside, the easier it becomes for Derrick Henry to be the running back that can actually take you to a Super Bowl. This is one of those moments where it's great that he's fired up. That doesn't change the fact that he is going to be facing a wall with a questionable offensive line at times and less weapons on the offensive side. I really think the Titans are poised to take a step back this year. And in an AFC that's stacked, even a tiny step back could mean you don't make the playoffs. And that's a wild drop-off for a team that had Super Bowl aspirations.
Yeah, there's going to be a 10-win team that's not in the playoffs in the AFC.
Yep.
That's a scary reality. But it's just the truth. Hey, Fitz, you're the best, man.
Thank you, brother.
Appreciate you as always.
Appreciate you guys. Have a great week. Welcome back.
Yes, sir. He is Jason Fitz. Join us every single Monday here on the show. Yeah, I mean, look, it really is. There is a, you know, the balance of power in the NFL is heavily weighted to the AFC, which is bad news for someone like me whose team plays in the AFC.
Yeah, but your division's going to get more than one, and your hope's got to be that you're one of them. I mean, you could get as many as three.
Yep.
The South is going to be a one playoff just like it was last year, right? Colts didn't do their job and end up being one.
I could see the Colts. I mean, yes, I think you're right, though. Yeah, it's going to be one.
You're not whether it's the Colts out of the Titans, South yes. with as good as the AFC is. That's going to stand.
Yeah, I would think so. Yes. It's just a matter of do you win your division or not now.
Absolutely.
With Matt Ryan in the division. You know, and that's a real question. Like, Matt, like, think about it. I mean, Carson Wentz was one win against the Jaguars away from taking the Colts to playoffs last year. You know, Matt Ryan is a huge upgrade over that. So, you know, that's going to be a real – the Colts and Titans race is going to be real this year.
Oh, it's tightened. There's no question about it, I think, when you trade away an A.J. Brown.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't do yourself any favors. All right, we'll be back. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth.
So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Earlier today, we were talking about the reports from Mark Stein, which were interesting, that potentially the Memphis Grizzlies could be looking to move up and to do so dramatically, to move up to potentially the top five. Now, Jaden Ivey is widely projected to be the number 4 overall pick with the Grizzlies. Is that something that necessarily makes sense with Ja?
Not to me.
Maybe not, but look. I mean, they could have somebody else in mind. They could have a different player in mind.
Totally. Sure, they could.
You know, so it's just to me a philosophical question of, you know, you only got so many, you know, swings you can take, right? You only got so many assets that you can package up. I guess you have more, right? You could have another swing later. You still got those. You still got Golden State's pick, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't one of those. Those are down the line, right? The mm-hmm. Jazz pick later, right?
Mm-hmm. This is Jazz now.
Okay, this is the Jazz pick. Okay.
Yes.
But you still have Golden State's pick, mm-hmm. right, which may or may not be valuable. It seems like maybe not so much anymore. But you still have some things you could do. The question is, do you take a swing on a rookie, or do you, you know, I think we sort of always looked at it through the prism of a veteran, right? Somebody that's proven, somebody that's more so going to get you over the hump rather than, all right, be ready by the time you're going
to
do that.
Well, especially as we've, I guess, started to realize how close to the hump, John, or getting over it you might be, right? That
sure.
part's changed
sure.
in terms of where you think you are in terms of contender, how you stack up in the West. And so how close you are could dictate, again. But I think, John, too, not just envisioning it that way, I think it's the right way. I still think if you're going to, you know, if you're going to cash in any of these assets, all very valuable, the way to go seems like to me to go get the veteran guy rather than a question mark. I know some of these picks, you know, a lot of these guys come right in, can play right away. No, Lord knows the Grizzlies have been good at finding those.
Yep.
But there's still that question mark that you're asking of a rookie guy on a team that's, let's be real, ready to win at a high level right now. So I still think if once you're ready to cash in those assets, whatever it is, and maybe
right.
maybe the Grizzlies are.
Maybe it's a two-part move.
It's a vet.
You know? Maybe it could be a two-part move. It could have a 1A and a 1B, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing that specifically says – you know, you have to do it all in one. You have to take one huge swing. You can maybe take two big swings. I don't know. I mean, I'm just sort of trying to understand their thinking here.
Now tell me this. How happy are you for our man Chris Chioza? NBA champion, White Station grad, Florida's all-time assist leader. He is now a champion, John.
Wow.
Doesn't that make you feel proud?
It does.
When you add that to the White Station Spartan legacy and the tradition over there, everything we've done to have now a world champion, that feel good to say.
Yeah, actually, it does. It's a pretty cool, like, you know, accomplishment.
You notice I said him and not Wiseman, because I think I know where you're going to be at on James Wiseman winning one. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I mean, he could celebrate a Santa Cruz G League title. You know, he can't celebrate an NBA, you know, Warriors championship. He didn't play. He did not play. If you didn't even play one, like
Chris did not play in the playoffs,
Chioza,
did he?
No, he didn't. But he could at least talk himself into. He helped them establish that regular season record.
The three
helped
seed.
Them be the three. That's you damn right.
Man, you looking at me smiling?
I mean, it's true. It's true. It's a fact.
If we can be happy for Chris,
you can be happy for Wiseman. That's right.
I know Bennett's happy. They're friends.
Does this feel like a Tiger got a title? I mean, honestly,
no.
Exactly.
No, I'm not saying that.
Yeah,
Memphian though.
Well, no. I mean, somebody that moved to Memphis when he was a senior.
Now he's Nashville man.
Hey, was he
you were happy when he was Gatorade Player of the Year, the way he represented Garrett, National Gatorade Player of the Year. Remember that?
Of course. He was a Memphian
then. And you're going to want to jump right back on when he's healthy and playing for him later. Y'all remember James Wiseman? He came from Memphis.
I don't know why.
That's what you'll be saying.
Hey, is that going to happen? That's the first question, right?
Is it Petty King not to be somewhat happy for James Wiseman? Is that Petty King?
He didn't play. He didn't play.
I just gave you the point. Neither did Chris. When it
Chris
mattered.
Played the regular season.
But we love it for him.
Yeah.
But you draw the line between Gioza and Wiseman. He turned his back and decided to go pro.
Because
Memphis gave him bad info.
Chris Gioza appeared in 34 games.
I love Gioza. Didn't play in the playoffs.
But he played in 34 games. James Wiseman didn't play in 34 G League games this year.
Just don't take a picture with the trophy then, I guess, huh?
And also.
Stop.
And also, that man had, did he not play against, I guess that was, did he not play in game 6? He didn't get any burn there at the end? Chris Gioza?
That man was in cool street clothes, bro.
Damn.
Brand name stuff.
Damn, I was hoping he got some tick there. Either way, he at least played 34 games.
I love it for Gioza all talk. I'll let you be mad
at
Wiseman.
And he did play in the playoffs, by the way. He played against the Grizzlies. No, he didn't. I made that up. He didn't play in the playoffs. I made the whole thing up. Either way, he's a Memphian. He's a White Station graduate. And yes, he played 34 regular season games. That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Jason Fitz for joining us on the show today. It's going to do it for us. Gino and Jeffrey up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.